place. But our testimony should join that of, or our declaration needs to join that of the psalmist in verse 1. Our God is our refuge and our strength and occasional help in time of trouble. No, an ever-present help in time of trouble. He is, that needs to be our declaration, whatever's going to occur, that God is with us. Are we all muted? Okay. A bit of background noise there. That'd be good if we can. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. It, always ever-present. Again and again in my life, and I'm sure it's probably true in your lives as well, he proves himself an abundant help, not just a little help, but an abundant help. I've often wondered how people that don't have faith in our Lord Jesus actually cope sometimes. And they don't cope. I was talking to a member of my family only the other day, who I just talked about something that required, it's hard to face. I don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about that. We'll move about something else. In other words, you know, they're missing that abundant help, that abundant, ever-present reality that is theirs in Christ. He proves himself a help in troubles of every sort, including the troubles that we're going through right now. In him alone, as that old song goes, we can find all the help we need. Let's be absolutely abundant here. What this psalm is telling us, that his grace is abundant. His grace is sufficient. His grace is ongoing from one generation to another, right down to us. Thank you. Thank you, family. Bless you. Yes. Let's understand this, brothers. Our Christian life, that which God put in us, and our life together as his church, was never built on human wisdom or on human strength or on my ability, your ability. We understand the truth of this scripture more often than not, and it's best received not when things are going well, but in times of trouble, or when we feel weak, when we feel vulnerable. I know about some of those things as well, you know, and they come upon us, and we're not careful, they can overtake us. So it's good to go back to the reality. He's an ever-present help when in times of trouble. That's verse one. Verse two starts, therefore, we don't need to fear. If God is with us, therefore, it says, God is our refuge and the strength and help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Even though our worlds might be imploding or society is in crisis as it is, the promise is there in verse 3. Though the sea, a sea of troubles, of troubled waters foam and surge around us, and even, yes, this terrible pandemic surges around us and comes upon us and near us. As we jump to verse 11, it's really clear. It says, the Lord Almighty is with us. In fact, if you read the AV version of it, it says, the Lord of hosts, the one in charge of the whole armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts, the all-powerful one, the Lord Almighty, is with us. In other words, he's on our side. He's actually on our side. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And still today, what I want to say, and it's my testimony, and hopefully it's yours as well, he's still giving us strength. He's given me strength. He still helps us. He still protects us. What I want you to note from that verse 11 is the mention of Jacob, the God of Jacob, it says here. Verse 11, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord's the God of Jacob. Jacob is an indication actually of our weakness, of our frailty. That it's a symbol of our humanity, if you like. He's a God not just of the Almighty, but he's a God of our frailty as well. He's a God who's covenantly committed to us. The God of heaven is the God of his people in their weaknesses. He is with us. So if he's with us, then the reality today is that this scripture talks about surging seas, and Ruth suggested recently I went and looked at the sea, and when I did, it was very calm and ripply. But I've been there plenty of times when the waves are crashing and you see it and it's frightening and it's foaming and all this thing, and our lives can feel like that. But by his power, by our God's power, we are not swept away by the angry sea and the surging tide and the pandemics and the unemployment and all the things that surge around us. We will not be swept away by the surging waters of trouble. Why? As I've stopped this first part of what I want to share with you, he is our true refuge. Amen. And our true strength. Amen. 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 To rivers right now, Phil. So you were sort of just ahead of me, really. But that's okay. That's fine. Whenever we see pictures of the river of God in the scriptures, they point us to their pictures of the work of the Holy Spirit. And here in verses 4-7, we moved away from the picture of the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake and they're surging and the chaos. We moved away from that picture. We moved to our security. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit as a stream of quiet peace, if you like, giving us help, giving us sustenance as a quiet water supply to a besieged city. And see, the Holy Spirit does that. Jerusalem knew what it was to be besieged, and they come up with a solution that they wouldn't run out of water, and they had underground streams that came right in to the city itself, quietly happening, quiet water supply of a besieged city, which gives sustenance and help. David picks up that same picture, if you like, brothers and sisters, doesn't he? That well-known psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I not want," Psalm 23. "He leads me," as it goes on to say, "besides quiet waters. He restores my soul." The work of the Spirit is dramatic sometimes, and we love that. We love the healings and the miracles, and we love all the stuff that he satisfies our soul, because we can only come alive in the river. Without the Holy Spirit's indwelling, without our spirits being born again by God's Spirit, we will not receive new life. But when we are born again, our spirits are born again by God's Spirit. Where does God's Spirit dwell? That's a question for you. Where does he dwell? He dwells right here in my heart. He's here in my soul, in my inmost being, my spirit. We come alive in that water. So here's a picture then for us, a picture that Jesus picked up in John chapter 7. I'm not going to read it to you because you know it. And it says on that last great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty, come to me. It's a festival where they poured water and multitudes of water down the temple steps, overflowing water to show the God's provision. But Jesus makes so much more of that when he says in John 7:37 and 38, "If anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. In other words, if we're tired and weary because of the quakings and the shakings and the surges and the troubles that come, we find a home in Him. In Him, He's the one. He's the one who gives us that peace, that assurance, that help. And this psalm, we were talking in our Bible study on Isaiah about prophecy, that some of it was for that time, directly an L word for the now situation, and some of it was for the future. And this Psalm 46 is prophetically being fulfilled by Jesus at the temple. There he is. Let me read the psalm to you. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. That right there, Jesus is fulfilling this. God is within the holy city. God, the Son of God, Jesus, is standing there and saying, if you are thirsty, come to me. Come to me. In that place where the Most Holy dwells, there he is. God is within her. She will not fall. She won't be moved. She's safe and secure. God in the flesh, then, all that, those hundreds of years on, is saying so much more about this psalm than was ever imagined. That first of all, it's not a physical river, but it's a spiritual river. God couldn't be restricted in just one place within a city, the city of Jerusalem. He's much bigger than that. God dwells where he dwells in our hearts. He's in heaven, but the Spirit of God dwells in us as believers. You ever thought about that? So where is God? Point right there. He's here. He's here. He's not there. He's not far away. We carry the Spirit of God around within us through new birth, through faith and repentance in Christ. He says, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will become a new person. The Spirit of God will no longer be out there, be in here with you. I know you are excited by that anyway, even, you know, we need to recognize that in every difficult situation, God is not miles away. He's here. An ever-present help in times of trouble. Not me, the Spirit of God within me. So the promise of Jesus is that for every believer in him, he abides with them all. Not just in one place at one time. Not just with just a select few, but with those that put their faith and trust in him. And what does he promise in verse 38 of John? He says, and rivers of streams of living water will flow from within you, to flow out. The river of God flows into us as the Holy Spirit comes into us by faith in Christ, through repentance and faith in Christ. We become believers, and then we're joined together in faith and love, and flowing into us and out, we are refreshed, we're empowered, we're strengthened, we're his people. Together, the church, and we do much more together than as individuals. And then it's not just for me to feel good and, oh, isn't this nice? Thank you, Lord. I've got a lovely feeling. But it flows into us so that it might flow out to individuals and into situations in the world. That what we have within us, this life-giving stream, the river that makes us alive, needs to spring up and push out, not just to be pushed down and kept for ourselves, to flow out into a world that's lost and in chaos. I said earlier, didn't I, that what must it be like to be going through some of these things if you don't know Jesus? And sometimes it isn't our words that convict people. In fact, we never convict anybody. Our words are used, but it's the Spirit of God who brings about that conviction in people. But people need, in this chaos, in this the world being tossed this way and that one, people that feel afraid and lonely, a need in Jesus, through our words, yes, but also through our actions. And we pray that every person that has a bite of some of that food that we've given and other things, and the comforting words we bring to the neighbours, will find a bit more for people might ask a question. What am I here for? What's the purpose of this life? So the last thing I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, from the scriptures is really this as well. It's from verse 8 onwards. It says, come and see the works of the Lord. The desolation is brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks bows and shatters spears and burns shields or chariots, it says here. Why? Because he wants us to be still. Come and see. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That God Almighty is with us. And if God is with us, he will find a way to display that. So the last thing I want to say, as we come together on these Zoom Sundays, let's be expectant. It's not just, oh, I'm sitting here and that. You know, it's not like being in church, is it? No, it's not. In my house, it's a bit warmer than our hut at the minute, I think, and what have you. But it's about something more than that. We are church together. Be expectant that the Holy One, the Lord of hosts, is with us. Let's expect that to happen. That we can say, oh, we're doing church, but not have any change. If we don't come expectant, come and see. Come and be expectant to be refreshed and to be renewed so that you can refresh and renew other people as well. Be open and know that God is amongst us. You know, we have lots of talk, don't we, brothers and sisters? I was listening to the radio this morning. We have lots of talk about, oh, I believe the Lord's with us. But do we actually really believe it? Do we feel it? I was reminded this morning of a lady called Corrie Ten Boom. Have you come across her, an old from the past? She was imprisoned, by the Nazis for protecting and hiding Jewish people. I'm amazed just how many people in the Netherlands put their lives at risk to hide people. They were really proactive in this stuff, and she was finally betrayed, and she goes off to a concentration camp, where her sister dies. And I just heard a little bit of her this morning, where she was preaching. She went to Germany to preach, in Hamburg, I think. And she recognised somebody in the congregation, where she talked about forgiveness. She talked about God's forgiveness and how we need to forgive other people. You remember that one? Yeah. And she came and she said they were fairly resistant. And this man came forward, who she recognized, who was a prison guard, who had been horrible, offensive, terrible, held out his hand and wanted to be forgiven. She said he was there part of killing her sister. You know, I mean, what struck me was the fact that she recognized that it had to be more than just something I believe, to something that she actually had to choose to do. And she said the forgiveness was a choice of her will. She didn't want to have to, she couldn't feel forgiveness, but she still had to choose to do it. And so it became no longer a theory, but here's this horrible person that had helped kill her sister in front of her. And you have to do something with it. And may that be our reality, that we move from this theoretical that God is with us to a reality that God is with us, and I need to take a choice of my will to believe it and to believe his word. And so today I will believe that I am blessed, I am protected, that he is my refuge, he is my strength, he's always with me, even when I don't want it to be. So maybe this year let's choose. Yeah, it may be that we need to choose to forgive. It made me think about people actually that have hurt me, that might have hurt you. But if we want to flow in this river, we need to move our faith from being theoretical to being real. And I don't need to actually have to feel warm, cuddly things towards that person. I need to choose with my mind, with my will, I will forgive you. Or I choose with my will, I am, with my choice of my will, I am going to come into God's presence. Whatever is around me today, we are going to worship God. If I don't know one of the songs, I will worship God. If I don't like the scriptures, or we did this too long, or that too, it doesn't matter. I am going to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. Come and remember the goodness of God. And that's what she said. She remembered, Corrie ten Boom, she remembered that God forgave her regularly and had to every day. And she had no choice. She didn't want to do it, but she had to forgive this person. And I want to tell you, we have no choice but to recognize God's not going anywhere. He will be with us. So it'd be good to recognize that, wouldn't it? And do what he's asking us to do. Yes, it might be forgiveness, but it might just be letting go and letting him have a say in that part of your life that you've never let him into before. So I'm going to stop now. I'm going to pray, but come, see, and remember. As we come together, we're coming to see, we're coming to remember. We share the goodness of God and the answers to prayers and the battles of prayer together. We're remembering that he's sovereign, that he's Lord. And we're remembering, and we're going to declare that nothing is too difficult for him. So let's pray right now. And this is a real prayer. Forget what you're doing right now. Close your eyes and ask God to really come into your room to speak to you. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. Help me to find that forgiveness, to forgive. Those words of comfort. My situation is not beyond your cope or your grasp. Nothing is too difficult for you. Are you repeating this to the Lord? Because that's our declaration. That's your testimony. That's mine. So Lord, right now as we come with these final words, we want to be still in your presence and know you are God. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Touch lives. Heal lives. Refresh. Courage. Let your river flow into my brothers and sisters and out from them. I see a picture of the river flowing out from you, and as it flows out, it's also going to take away the stuff that you don't want. A cleansing removal of stuff that's been there too long. Jet washed away. Let the Spirit of God come now, brother and sister. Let him touch you. Let him heal you. Come, Spirit of God, we pray. To every person who's hearing my voice, may they hear your voice. Come, Spirit of God. For some of you, there's a real fear holding you. And the Lord wants to cut that away. He has a very large pair of cutters in his hand, cutting you free. Just say, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. You can do this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That through your death, all things are possible. And through your resurrection in the sending of the Spirit of God into our lives, we are not alone, but we are children of God. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.